fighting for America.
Learning doesn't have to be painful. It can be fun. And if you can get students that are not excited about school excited and make what you're doing fun, make it relevant to them, then they're going to catch on. They're going to have those aha moments.
Fighting for Idaho.
Some of the stuff we see in education on the news is on the negative side. For every negative article there is about funding and levies and what have you, there are great things that go on in every school and in every classroom. And there are a lot of teachers who put a lot of hard work into what they do.
Fighting for you.
Focuses on student learning. How are we as a teacher, as an educator, ensuring that kids are learning?
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We're joined by our great friend, Nagmaid Abedini. Nagmaid, good to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So how have you been?
Not very good. It's been difficult, but doing better. It's been a roller coaster, as always.
Well, you were on Fox News yesterday. You shared that with your Facebook friends and family members. Can you tell us what that was about, and can you give us the latest, ma'am?
Yes, well, Saeed, my husband, was in the hospital because of beatings earlier. He'd been in the hospital for 2 months in the Iranian, in a hospital in Iran, and he was recovering. He was feeling much better, and then a few days ago, just unexpectedly, guards came and took him and beat him, and they beat him, and then they used some kind of a thing to... like a taser of some kind, and to make him collapse. And they took him, and he's doing much worse now than he was even doing before he went to the hospital.
That must be, I can't even describe that, Nagmaid.
Yeah, I think it was even more devastating to hear that than when I first that he was taken. When he was first taken, we were very hopeful. There was a lot of things to do, to still be done, a lot of countries to reach out to. And it's been 2 years of constant travel and constant advocacy. And then to see we're almost at ground zero again, or, he's even doing worse, is really hard. It really required a lot of people really, I was really devastated, really blinded, not knowing what's next. And what does this mean? And a lot of people have encouraged me, and my faith has gotten me back up again. It was a blow that it was the hardest blow in the last 2 years. And not being able to see what all these efforts, what does it mean? And where has all the efforts taken us? And what is our government doing? What is anyone doing? And why is he still there and beaten?
Nagmaid Abedini with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. I was going to ask you, for folks that may not be familiar with your plight or that may not be familiar with the beginnings of this, I thought it would be a good time to go back and talk a little bit more about that. We'll do that in a minute, but can you take us inside the minds of the regime that hasn't? Because we in America, as you know, we always think logically. But can you really understand? Can we understand the rationale for what they're doing to your husband?
I don't think we can, because we would. I think people here are shocked to know that someone choosing to have a different faith than the regime is a crime, and it's the worst crime. The Iranian government considers anything but their version of Shia Islam, anyone who believes differently, to be a criminal, and they consider that the worst crime because. In March, they had promised to release over 900 prisoners, and they chose to release common criminals, rapists, and drug dealers and murderers. Versus, they did not even release one political prisoner, including religious minorities. So, for them, religious minorities are the biggest threat to their country than even common criminals, and it's just. It's mind-boggling. And so they treat, and the other thing that makes it hard to understand the regime is their internal struggle with the moderates versus the radicals or the hardliners. And so Saeed stuck in the middle. There's something about him being a convert that really does not sit well with the hardliners. And so he's been in the middle of this and has gone through beatings, and you're trying to use him as a lesson to say you can't change your religion, you can't convert. And so he's been stuck inside this, a very radical country, and a country that's also unstable with its political climate, with the hardliners and the moderates. And so it's just hard to understand that someone who just has a different religion is going through so much.
Well, and here's the other thing that a lot of people don't understand, Nag made at 580KIDO, is that he had their permission to be there. He was there under their protection, their sanction, if you will.
Exactly. You know, early on, a lot of people said, why did he go? He was, he had a heart for that country. He wanted to help the people. And the Iranian government encouraged him. It wasn't like he was going there secretly. He was going on his own. They said, come help us with human efforts. And we started an orphanage with their encouragement. There, they gave approvals. It's not like they were trying to stop us. We have the paperwork that to prove it, that they were just giving us approval. They were helping us move forward with doing this orphanage. All of a sudden, he traveled more than 10 times since 2009 until he was arrested in 2012. And he left in June, which is almost 2 years now, in a few weeks, and he never came back. And they decided to take him. They changed their strategy. The intelligence police was handling religious minorities, and all of a sudden it changed to Revolutionary Guards handling religious minority cases, and they're the more radicals. And so they just started arresting all the religious minorities and shutting down churches, and he got stuck in the middle of that.
Nagmaid Abedini with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. What have you been doing since we last spoke?
I think last time we spoke, I just returned from some trips in Europe where I've met with different government officials at the European Parliament and the Dutch Parliament. And so just talking to them, kind of advocating in terms of continuing to keep Iran accountable on human rights issues. And which a lot of governments are doing that, which I'm very thankful for. But since we last spoke, we kind of kept it quiet for a few months, hoping a lot of the previous efforts were going to bear fruit, not trying to really get Iran upset and just kind of keep low, which I think it doesn't work with Iran. But just we haven't really done a whole lot and really been out in the media a lot, hoping that a lot of the other efforts would bear fruit, but there hasn't been much movement. And so we're back. After they did that, we just got back on and going full force with the media and putting pressure on the Iranian government to release him.
580KIDO, Nagmaid Abedini with us. You know this country. You've dealt with them. Your husband, Pastor Saeed's family, gets to visit him, his father does. The media pressure, everything that you're talking about, what do you think is going to turn the tables, if you will?
Honestly, I think that's the one country, too, when you have a prisoner, you wouldn't know what to do. I mean, honestly, it's unknown. Iran is its own crazy country of their own. They have their own way. No one knows how they would respond to what. I mean, they seem to have responded to sanctions and has brought them on the table to negotiate regarding the nuclear talks, but that's even not really, no one's really sure if that's even going to bear fruit, those talks. So really, that's where I was at a few days ago. Now what, and what is going to bring Iran to release them. I do know previously continuous pressures has forced Iran to release prisoners, be it American prisoners or even internally where they had a pastor on death row. They released them finally after continuous pressure. It was 2 years of constant pressure from all over the world, from different countries. So I think pressure does work somehow, even though the Iranian regime makes it sound like it doesn't. So we need to continue to speak out. Our local government officials need to continue to press State Department and our government on this has been too long. He needs to come home now.
Well, I know it was refreshing when we had the governor on. He did speak out, and that was good.
It was. He had not been very vocal, and it was amazing that he did speak out on your show. So I was very encouraged by that, because it does make a difference. Each person speaking out does make a difference, and it does get back to our the State Department and our government and our president. And so I think each person continuing to remember Saeed, continuing to say this is an important issue. And you know what, Kevin, if people don't speak out, it will spread. We have another case in Sudan, another American citizen, his pregnant wife, and a 20-month-year-old in prison because she's a Christian. And she got hanged. She got sentenced to hanging as soon as she gives birth to her child. And so here's another case where the U.S. government's saying, well, we're concerned. Well, if we don't act, if our government doesn't make it clear to the rest of the world that this is an issue, that this can't be done to any citizen, better yet to American citizens, that they're being persecuted for what they believe, then we're going to see that more and more happening, of Americans being taken, persecuted because of their belief. And our government needs to make a serious, strong statement against this, or we will see more of this. So I am. I think as American citizens, we need to make sure our government is speaking powerfully to the nation that this is not right. We protect religious freedom. This is an important value for our country.
Nagmay, tell us a little bit about your husband's faith. We've heard from your faith, but when he said he was going to go over there, when the Iranian government said they were going to work with him, they wanted the help. I mean, you have a beautiful young family, a great life here. What were your concerns, and what did your husband say to you about his faith in God and doing this that allowed him to go there?
Well, if this happened at a time where we were least concerned, I guess, because he was working with the Iranian government, it was... when he left, it was a quick goodbye. It was not really a lot of worry because he'd been back so many times and he was supposed to be back a few weeks. But, you know, when we did discuss, he had a passion for, the Muslims, the people that are hurting him, even the hardliners. But he had a passion for, the Iranian people and people in general, but that's where he was born. And so his heart was to help these orphans. And our kids, every time he would go on a trip, our kids would run around the house, pick their favorite toys. They'd bring an old toy or an old clothes, and he'd be like, no, give your best. And so he'd open the suitcase, and they'd bring their best toys or the best clothes for these orphans and these kids. And so our whole family was involved with the whole process. We were excited to help these kids And so he had a heart. His faith really gave was the fuel for a lot of what he did, and he had a heart for these orphans. And it's unfortunate that now his kids have been without him for 2 years because his love for people.
Nagmay, thank you. And we can do this as much or as little as you want. I know you're very busy, and I know you have a life, and you want to get your life back. So just so you know, we're with you in on the air and in our prayers.
Thank you. You have always been a great support and a great friend. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Nagmay, God bless. Have a good day.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Joining us now, Jim Schmelick. Mr. Schmelick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing today? Thanks for having me back on.
Well, I was going to ask you, it's been about a week. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was doing great the day after the election. Matter of fact, it seemed like I spent the whole day trying to cheer people up and say there was a lot of good, positive things that happened here. And I'm one of those people, Kevin. It's always a wonderful time to be alive. I love everything about my life, I love everything that I do, and if you can't take, you know, if you're not continuing to get in this game, you're going to have some setbacks every now and then. And I understand that. And like I said, this is just a one of those things. And I saw a lot of good things happen election night, and I just want to keep moving forward with those.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Jim, what did you learn against during your run against the lieutenant governor?
I learned that we need to do a lot, get people more educated on why these issues that we ran on were very, very important. The issue of transferring public lands is something that I'm going to fight very hard for. If you've noticed what's happened in the newspapers since that, you know, the environmental community is kind of going over the top now, saying we can't do these things. There's an article written by a guy up here, Marty Trillhouse, in the paper up here saying, you know, we're forgetting about certain things in our Constitution. And while they're pointing out these things, they're forgetting not to give you the whole message. And so it's just our job to continue educating people and showing people why our land is supposed to be transferred and why it is constitutional, and maybe even having to educate our current attorney general that, you know, you've got this one wrong. I just believe you have it dead wrong, and here's why, and continue to go forward, you know, with a happy voice, I guess is the best way to put it, and say we can do this. But we've got to get people to understand why it is constitutional, why our Constitution was written the way it was, and explain that verbiage to people so they'll understand that.
Does the governor have it wrong? He said at the debate he's been there, and he's done it. It's not going to work.
You know, which is kind of disappointing to me. I mean, our governor should understand that better than anybody, and our attorney general should understand this as well. Those type of things, I guess we've got to educate them too, because we've done a good job of showing people how this was written, why it was written, the way it was written. And you've got to include all that verbiage. That's the other thing that's really disappointing. Okay, yeah, I've been there, done that. Well, so were our founding fathers. So were those people when we passed issues like that were upheld by the Supreme Court, like the Fugitive Slave Act and Dred Scott decisions. We don't always get it right. You know, for some reason we think that we're infallible in certain areas when it comes to our jurisprudence, and we're not. We do make mistakes, but the great thing about this country is we have a tradition of standing up for what's wrong, and sometimes we have to do it over and over and over again, the same way the left does. The left never stops. That's the one thing. If I had to take anything out of this, they never quit. They are relentless, and we have to be just as relentless back at them, saying, no, here's the truth, here's what it is, here's what it means, and stand for it. Not defend it, Kevin. In my mind, stand for the truth.
580 KIDO, as we continue on. Jim, what about the future of the Republican Party? A lot of dirty laundry being aired in the paper, much to the glee of Popke on Politics.
Yeah, I sit there and I watch this, and I go, we've got to at some point start uniting this party. And if we can't do that, you're going to see it continue to splinter. And we need people to understand that we had an election. It was a bruising primary election. And now it is time to unite the party. I was talking to somebody last night. I go, I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. For as much as the disagreements that I wouldn't even call them disagreements, a different approach where we should be governing from our party. Do you want to have a Democrat governor running the state agencies? Do you want to have a Democrat governor picking your judges who might resign from the bench? Stop and think about these things for a minute from that standpoint. I don't agree 100% with the governor right now, or the attorney general, or lieutenant governor, but I probably agree with them on 80 to 85% of the issues. If I'm going to let that 15% tear me down, then we're just going to keep going down the road. My job right now is to convince them, if I can convince them on one issue, which is going to be this land issue, and try to show them why this is worth fighting for, and try to get them to unite around that.
580 KIDO, as we continue on, what do you make of the controversy involving the Attorney General? First, Chris Troupas endorses him, then he's withdrawn it. The only reason why I mention that, Jim, is you've brought up the Attorney General and trying to convince him mm-hmm. about the lands.
Well, and Chris Troupas can make up his own mind for himself too, and that revolves around the fact that the Democrat, the guy who's going to run against Kim, said, I'm not going to run now. That's a major issue. I think that Mr. Troopas has a legitimate beef on why he ran. I really think our Attorney General is not taking a good look at this. And well, you know, that's a I'll go back to Mr. Troopas is entitled to his stance and his opinion. And in one side, I almost don't blame him. I would say, hey, what's going on here? You've got a Democrat now supporting you. To me, in my mind, I've seen where the Democrat Party's gone, I've seen where it's going, and I see where it wants to take us. And if that's the direction the Attorney General wants to take us, then we've got a lot of work in front of us to do.
How do you think the Republican Party is acting or reacting to the conservatives, the Tea Party? See, I think it's more, I like my name, the Rebel Alliance, towards the convention.
I think that they're not treating them well, and I think if they think they can win an election and sacrifice 25,000 to 30,000 votes, and maybe they can. I don't think you can, but I think you need to be uniting around some of these conservative issues. If you don't, I think you could lose an election in the fall. I think this is something that, you know, maybe they've got polling number that I'm not privy to. But I think if you don't get your base involved in this election this fall, the Democrats are going to run a very moderate campaign. They will coalesce around that. They'll coalesce around anything they can and any damage they think they can bring about the Republican Party. And they're going to have the press on their side. It's going to be a big deal. I don't think you win this election without the support of the conservatives. If you think you can win that, then like I said, you're seeing something that I'm not seeing.
The final thought,
you saw a lot of people vote.
Right.
They want to say that there was a 7-point spread. Not really. Walt Bayes and Harley Brown, if they weren't in this election, those would have gone to Russ Fulcher, and this race would have been a heck of a lot tighter than what it was.
A final thought, though. I mean, do you really think that people are going to support Mr. Baloukoff? He's a one-note candidate that's run just a campaign on social media. He's got to, as you know, press the flesh, and as you know, the governor is very charismatic, like him or not.
I do, but I also would say, can you win by having 25,000 people not vote at all? Because I don't think they'll vote for the Democrat. Mm. Will they vote for the governor and lieutenant governor? I think that's the question you have to ask, and you better take a long, hard look at what they're going to do against the for that superintendent of public schools position.
So I think that's a disaster waiting to happen. That race is
spend a lot of money there.
Yeah, that's a disaster waiting to happen. Jim, we'd love to have you back.
Okay, sounds great, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Take care, sir.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And good morning. Welcome to Friday. Kevin Miller in the morning. The last time I'll be in studio for a little while. We're joined by Dave Burnett. Our friend Sweet Willard here at Sheridan Academy has once again refused to come on the air. And Dave, he's talking to me. I go, look, if you're not going to talk with Dave Burnett on the air, then I really don't want to talk to you off the air. I need all the help I can get to get through this segment.
Boy, that's the truth. I mean, yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So we had the shooting in Nampa yesterday. We've got more and more issues involving the VA scandal. We've got the baby doe on the website, adorable photos there at 580kido.com. We urge everybody to check it out. Where would you like to start today?
You know, I was just thinking about that whole VA thing with and basically it centers around Phoenix. I do know that they are doing audits and investigations even locally into our local VA, that the department heads are being quizzed on things here locally as well. But it just seems to me that, you know, with a government agency, with as much paperwork as they require out of a government agency, you would think they could come down pretty quick as to who it is that, you know, made the decision to cook the books to make it look better than it is so everybody can get their bonuses and get their raises. You would think they could pin it down pretty quickly if they really wanted to.
Well, and as we pointed out yesterday, we had the concussion summit at the White House.
And I'm thinking to myself...
Somebody hit their head at the White House?
Roger Goodell.
Oh.
But a concussion summit at the White House, and I'm thinking, why in the world would we be focusing in on that? If the president truly wanted to end this debate, why not just bring everybody in and say, gentlemen, we're not leaving till we find out who is responsible, and here's the other issue. We're spending billions in Afghanistan, billions in Pakistan, for people that genuinely don't like us. Yeah, there are some good folks, but not compared to the bad people. Why not take a billion or two and fix the VA system?
Well, you know, I don't even know that it's an issue of money. They're spending more money on the VA than they have in years. So in some ways, to me, it appears, you know, as the government tends to do, let's throw dollars at it. You know, it's much like it with the education system. Let's throw dollars at it. And since we're spending money, that makes it all good. Well, no, it needs to be spent properly in the right spots. Something's going on there, and to me it just seems like you could sign off on the paperwork pretty quickly to figure out who it is that said, yeah, let's do this so we can all get our bonus and our raise. Meanwhile, the veterans themselves are the ones standing in line going, what? I don't right. have an appointment?
Well, that's the thing at 580KIDU, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, I guess at this point I should say, hey, let me finish, but I won't. It just seems like it should be an easy fix.
Well, and that's why, getting back to the point about money, you're right, they're spending more money than ever before. I think it's the second most funded agency. Then how do you explain, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait 40 days for a colonoscopy? I know some of us look forward to our colonoscopies.
Well, you know, and part of it is that, you know, they're cooking the books for their own benefit.
Yeah.
For, you know, for leadership's benefit, for raises and bonuses. So
yeah, some guy got a raise or a bonus, $8,000.
Well, yeah, and that's, to me, it follow the money. To me, that's what this is all about, is that somebody's cooking the books to make it look like everybody's appointments are on time so we can get our bonuses and our raises. I'm going to tell you, that's where a big part of this in Phoenix comes down to.
I have to switch gears on you for a minute. I am horrified.
Over?
I'm horrified over Jennifer Lopez.
Well, that speaks for itself.
Well, just looking at the trending on Yahoo, she's in a new steamy new video. Now, when are people going to ever act their age?
Well, you know, it is that constant pressure on us to want to be young, to want to be younger. So it's kind of funny. I was watching a video last night. It's kind of a local video out of Twin Falls. In fact, it involves one of our company stations down at Twin Falls. You know where they do the wacky disc jockey talking to the wacky TV morning show? And they were blasting on this guy who's just turning 40, being the old guy. And the rest of them, I think, were all 15 years old on the air. And it's like, stop. 40's not old. That's fine. Let the 40-year-old speak. He probably has, you know. But then he was trying to talk like a 25-year-old, so.
Well, but back to the whole idea of acting your age. Now, let me ask you, and for Gene and Cuna and all of our other friends listening at this hour here at Noland and security guard Mike and Rebecca at the Albertsons at 580KIDO, I mean, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that I act my age, and do you act your age, Dave Burnett?
Yes, I think I do act my age, and you actually act older than your age.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So yes.
Now, back to Jennifer Lopez, and this is where I'm just kind of looking at myself going, why? She's in a steamy video, and I'm thinking, she's like 42, 43, maybe, I think she's might be my age, 46. And do we really want to see that? And quite frankly, is that really appropriate? And am I being an ageist or a sexist by saying those things?
And thank you very much. And just for a technical note to our company, this was research as to why I went to go look at the video. Oh my goodness. Okay, going to shut that video off before I'm fired.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will say this. On the cosmetically appealing side, she looks very good in the video, but at some point, stop that. Just stop.
Well, save that for the young girls. I mean, and I was offended. And people say, Kevin, do you really believe what you say? Well, about half the time. But this is legit, not like the other things I talk about. I'm just kidding, folks. I was offended by the title Cougar Town on ABC. I hate that title. I think it's so disrespectful to relations, men and women in this country today.
Well, I don't, yeah, you know, the term came up here a while back, at least got popularized, which I find it offensive to women who are, you know, past age 35, 40, 45 to refer to them as cougars. There's several things that have been bothering me lately. And one is.
All right.
Well, just one is on TV, the use and the okay factor of products that are illegal in all but a couple of states, such as marijuana, showing that, hey, it's all okay to go ahead and do that because what it does to the younger generation and, you know, where they stand. The other thing is, and maybe it makes me sound like an old man because when I was 21, I might have been going, hey, yeah. But, you know, there comes a point where you need some self-discipline and self-respect to be able to function and to think properly.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think corporal punishment for dope smokers, personally.
You think a corporal punishment? Well,
yep.
If it's
legal.
But,
sir, may I have
but
another?
I'm sorry. It's legal in Colorado. It's legal in Washington. So, you
look
know.
How,
but I guess it's a message that it sends to the younger generation. But
It is.
But no,
they
I
need to be spanked is what needs to happen. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
You know, for Jennifer Lopez, she looks very good in the video. I'm just not quite sure why I get it. But it does. Okay. Now I will say this. It does not just apply to Jennifer Lopez. Look at a lot of the guys and the way they portray guys in videos and on TV and movies.
Well, you're right, and Willard over here is going crazy. Willard, if you're going to talk, talk. If not, keep your nonverbals to yourself here. He reacted to getting spanked for corporal punishment or for smoking dope.
Why? What's he doing over there?
Well, he's not smoking dope. He just said, bring it on. No one would have enough guts to swat him.
Oh, okay. I got news for him. We'll line him up when he gets back here.
Exactly. So at 580K IDO, we've got a few other things going on. I, you know, $2 billion for the LA Clippers? What do you make of that?
That's a lot of money. That's a record amount of money for an NBA club. And the one of the guys who owns a bunch of stock in Microsoft is offered up $2 billion with a capital B billion dollars. He'll be fine, though. I guess he's worth $13 billion, so he'll still have, you know, what, $11 billion left when he's done.
Yeah, no partners, no anything else. And the funny thing about this is people have been saying that if Sterling wanted to sell, it would have been $900 million. So he sells it for $2 billion or $2.1.
He's rewarded.
Sterling, after capital gains, because he bought it for $12 million, will still make a profit of $1.5 billion, although his wife has declared him crazy or mentally unfit.
I guess maybe she wants to, you know, control his part of the money. Good for her, I guess. Well, she's going to make out like a bandit.
Right. She owns 50% of it, but the Sterling Trust, she can have him declared mentally non-coherent or something, and I guess that's what's happened, so we expect that to go through. But how about that? Sterling gets rewarded for being offensive.
Well, you know, the NBA said they wanted him to sell, so he's going to sell. He's been fined. What more do you want to do to him?
If only we could figure out a way to be rewarded for being offensive.
That could probably be, well, we could make some money then.
Yes, yes, indeed. So we've got that. Next week, I won't see you for a week, Dave Burnett. Well, no, you do come out and visit me. You're about the only one.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll come visit you. Is you're going to be at the Walmart on Garrity, Miller's Mission. And this really is for a great cause out in Canyon County, is the Women and Children Shelter, looking to help fund and supply and stock and bring attention to the need there at the Women and Children Shelter. So for a great cause. In fact, if you can't get to the Walmart on Garrity, you can make donations at any of the Walmarts in the Treasure Valley.
And what we're trying to do is everybody gives so much in the fall. We would love to replicate that before you go on your vacation, before you go to the mountains, before you go camping at the sand dunes like Dave Burnett. Why don't you stop by and donate some money or, you know, buy some goods, drop them off in the barrels. It benefits the Canyon County portion of it, benefits the Valley Women and Children's Shelter. The other, the Ada County, benefits the Boise Rescue Mission. So,
yeah, and you know, when it comes to the women and children's shelter, and we're talking about, you know, if you don't want to do cash, that you can drop off, you know, diapers or children's clothing or women's clothing. And in part because a lot of times when women get in a situation where they need to go for this help, sometimes they up and leave the home with nothing. They just have to get out of the home because of the situation they've been put in. So there's times where they come into the shelter and they've got nothing. So clothing for the kids, for the moms, supplies, crucial, absolutely crucial. And all of that, I don't know if you've priced a pack of diapers lately. If you're suddenly out on the street because of the situation at home, it's expensive. So just looking to help out to women and kids as you're at the Walmart there. In
no used diapers, though. No used diapers.
No, that didn't.
And that defeats the purpose.
Do they even make cloth diapers anymore? I don't know.
I think
they do.
You know, I think I saw it on Shark Tank, the cloth diaper service where they come by and they clean them and such like that. But
I don't know.
Unless
but no, we're
yourself.
Just looking for the disposable diapers. So you'll be out there starting Monday morning. More to come on that. Right now, your traffic now as you
weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO from Sheridan Academy, promoting our schools, securing our future. Thank you, CapEd. Remember, starting Monday, Miller's Mission. Stop by and see us at the Walmart on Garrity and Franklin in Nampa. Coming up, we'll talk to the folks here at Sheridan Academy. And more fireworks yesterday concerning the VA scandal, the latest on that shooting in Nampa. All that before 9 a.m., only with us here at 580 KIDO. Time to get you to work safely and on. You know, I hate that when I talk to Dave Burnett because I forgot to ask him two questions that I wanted him to comment on. Well, I guess there's always Monday. Coming up, Fox News on the radio, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Serving